It is the 11th of March, a Tuesday night. Four games to go through tonight. A couple of good ones, a couple of not so good ones. I'm going to have a bit of a rant. Well, it's not a new rant, but we'll talk about head-to-head leagues, player injuries. I'll give you a very good example of why you should not be playing your fantasy head-to-head playoffs now. I know that has been the case for many, many, many years, but I feel like a change is in the air. Let's get into everything. This is the Tuesday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I do and say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere and everywhere you consume your fantasy basketball content. We are also part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Four games, quiet night in the NBA. But I'm just going to talk about head-to-head leagues very briefly. I'm in a few. I don't like Roto. That's just a personal choice. I find head-to-head just more exciting, I guess. But I absolutely understand the merits of being in a Roto league. Looking at head-to-head leagues next season, though, I will, not that anyone cares, but I'm going to go on the record and I'm going to state that I am not going to play in a head-to-head league next year unless the playoffs finish around the All-Star break, because there is... The resting, it's just, I know it's been a thing for the last 5 years. This year just feels like teams are taking the piss, really. There's no accountability. The NBA is not seeking answers from any of these teams. Why did Ty Jerome rest today? He plays 20 minutes a game off the bench. It wasn't a back-to-back. All right. Guess the same with Walker Kessler. The amount of players that are being listed as out with injuries, they are not injured. They are banged up. Absolutely, they are banged up. When you play that many games of basketball, you are going to be banged up. But if there was any incentive or any rules here in place that you had to play unless it was a... I don't know how they change it, to be honest. Short of reducing the schedule and eliminating back-to-backs, but we know that's not going to happen because the NBA is just driven by money and sponsorships and that sort of thing. So it's not going to happen. So I feel like this is just going to be the new norm. From about February, we are going to get teams that are blatantly resting players because they don't want to win games. I'm in a semi-final at the moment, and I have a good roster. Competitive. I could win this week. I could lose. It will depend on, it will be a 100% luck. This will come down to the guy I'm against lost Wemby and someone else. Who did he lose? I know he's lost a couple of players. So on paper, I should win this matchup because he's lost two, maybe three, his three best players. It's a shallow league. It's a 7-team league. So on paper, I should win. And if I look at my roster tomorrow, I have a full roster of players, but eight? Yes, we have eight active roster spots, four bench spots. I currently have 9 of my 12 players with a red flag. And of those players tomorrow, I would say maybe two of them are injured. The rest are just not playing for whatever reason. Emmanuel Quickley's not playing. Who knows? Trae Young, I think, is injured. Devin Vassell, I'm not sure. He might be, but this wouldn't surprise me if they're just throwing in the towel as well. Jokic is just banged up, I think. So I think his injury is legitimate, and I think he probably plays, to be fair. Keontae George, I'm not sure. He's injured, maybe a bit of a sore foot. Donovan Mitchell is not injured. Kawhi Leonard is not injured. Cam Thomas, who just has a red flag all the time, is not injured. Jalen Williams, I think, is injured. So LaMelo Ball, he's going to have a red flag added to his name at some point. He is not injured. So, what, 60, 70% of my roster is just resting and not playing, and there are no repercussions for the teams. So, I'm not going to play in a head-to-head league next year unless all of my leagues' playoffs are going to end around the All-Star break, and then we'll run a pick'em league, because fantasy, as much as I love it, it should not come down to that. It should not come down to teams just being able to cheat to try and get losses. So, yeah, I'm going to make some changes in my leagues. All right, let's get into the games. We've got a few questions. Let's just see. Yeah, okay, cool. We'll get into those at the end because there are only four games. So we'll move through these pretty quickly because a few of these teams are perfect examples of teams that don't have to follow the rules. Well, the rules. The rules aren't there, so they obviously don't have to follow them. Washington go down to the Pistons for the Wizards. Jordan Poole had 15 points. Keyshawn George, let's roster Keyshawn George. He's playing good minutes. He's getting good numbers. So I think we roster him. Jordan Poole, probably have to roster him. Saar, yeah. Middleton, no. Champagne, no. Bub Carrington, probably borderline. Kispert, no. Rashawn Holmes, no. Marcus Smart, no. Because they'll all miss a game in the next week. Who knows? So the only people I trust, only players I trust on this team at the moment are Keyshawn George. Bub Carrington, to be fair, he's not doing a lot, but he's at least playing. And honestly, with these teams that just don't want to play their players, just play them and play them 24 minutes. I'd still rather that. At least you're getting something from them. Just play them like 5 minutes at the start of the half, 5 minutes at the end, 6 minutes, whatever. Like the Wizards are doing here with Chris Middleton. He played 23 minutes, but then he probably won't play in the next game. I'm always curious, and I think people have sort of said that the NBA is quite clearly the worst when it comes to just not playing players. This doesn't happen in the NFL, as far as I'm aware, or not to this level. Doesn't happen in baseball. I know baseball's a little bit different in that there's no contact as such in baseball, but they play a lot of games. And over here, I can't think of anything close to this in any sport here in Australia. Rugby league, AFL, NBL, our basketball league. Players just don't just rest. It shocks me that these players are allowed to just sit and do nothing when they're getting paid the money that they're getting paid. Fans want to come and watch them. That generates a lot of this revenue and income, but then they just don't play. It's just baffling. Anyway, I don't want to talk about the Wizards. They suck. Let's talk about the Pistons, a team that is actually trying. Asar Thompson was in some early foul trouble here. Has been a little bit rough of late. I would still probably hold him, just given the number of players that are currently trustworthy. He is at least playing. I mean, the minutes were low here, but he typically plays 25, 26 minutes and does just enough. Jalen Duren was good. Favorable matchup for him, 15 and 13. Cade had 27, 8 and 10. Tim Hardaway is another one of those guys who is at least playing every game. He's giving you some threes. Had two steals in this one. He is okay as a back-end option. Malik Beasley has really cooled off the last little bit, but much like Tim Hardaway, he does enough to be rostered. I'd have both of those guys over Schroeder, although Schroeder has stepped into a meaningful role, at least for this team. 11 and 4 with a steal and a block. So I'd probably just have him a rung below Beasley, probably level with Hardaway. Actually, to be honest. And Tobias Harris, 12 and 8, 3 steals. The steals are nice. Didn't have to do a lot here. It was obviously a very comfortable win for them. Game number two, Brooklyn. They pushed Cleveland. Cleveland do get the win in the end, 109-104, but Brooklyn were up for a lot of this game. you always felt like the Cavs were probably going to come back and just play basketball for basically one quarter. Cam Thomas had 27 points, nothing else. Now they have, I think they play Thursday and then they play Saturday, Sunday. So he's only going to play one of those games Saturday, Sunday. Does he play Thursday? Not sure. I hope so, because he is one of the guys I have in that squad, the red flag squad. So we'll see. Claxton just continues to play. He isn't doing a lot. 9-4-4 with two blocks. The blocks are handy. That's why we're holding on to him. Cam Johnson had 17. I didn't think he'd play. He did. So that's a good thing if you've got him. Zaire Williams had 14-6-3. Keon Johnson, 1 point. Tyrese Martin, who had 18, I think, the night before, had 5. D'Angelo Russell didn't play, as we suspected. Sharp had 8, 7, and 2 with a steal in 19 minutes. He just can't get to that 20-plus minute range. Who do I trust on this team? Claxton, apparently, at this point, I trust him. Zaire Williams seems to be playing. Keon Johnson, very up and down, as is Tyrese Martin, but both of them are at least playing most games. Jalen Wilson is playing most games. So they're probably the guys I trust. Dayron Sharpe I'd like to hold just because he is playing as well. The minutes are a little bit underwhelming. Cam Johnson, Cam Thomas, you hold them. You put them in an IR spot when you can, or you just drop them. Emmanuel quickly falls into that bucket as well. I just had a look at his schedule for the next 2 weeks, so for the remainder of this week and next week. Technically, I think he has... or the Raptors have six games, maybe. Actually, I can just have a look, can't I? It's right in front of me. So technically, for the next 2 weeks, the Raptors have 6 games. I reckon quickly he'll play in 4, maybe 3. So he's not playing tomorrow. They then play Friday, Sunday, Monday. So he won't play both of Sunday, Monday. So you might get 2 more this week, maybe even just 1. They play Philly, Utah, Portland. So they're 3 games they want to lose. So maybe he plays in one of those. The Utah game sits out. So you might only get 1 more game of Emmanuel quickly this week if you're holding on to him. I know this because I'm probably going to drop him. And then next week they have 3 games. Phoenix, Golden State, San Antonio. They have a 2-day break in between all of them. Let's see. Do they need to rest him on the Thursday to give him a week off? Who knows? All right, let's go to the Cavs. They were without Donovan Mitchell, who was, he was there, but he wasn't playing. Garland stepped up, 30 points, 8 assists, 4 steals. So great night for him. Max Strus had 10 points, 2 threes. He is one of those 3-point streamers. Jared Allen, Evan Mobley both had strong games here against the Nets. Not surprising. Don't need to be rostering Okoro. You can stream him in for steals. That's about it. But once we get Donovan Mitchell back here, he will take a lot of the value away from Okoro, Sam Merrill. Craig Porter played a little bit here, but don't need to worry about those guys. Ty Jerome, I guess, will come back in unless he's just having a prolonged nap. All right, the Bucks and the Pacers. Actually a competitive game with two teams that want to win basketball, which is... How uplifting for us as basketball fans. The Pacers get the win, 115-114. I'm sure if you're on social media, you've seen the end of this game. Tyrese Halliburton, 4-point play, gets the win. Pretty incredible shot by him. He didn't do much for the game, but did that. So Giannis, Lillard, they all played. We love to see it. Giannis was pretty good. He was actually well held in this one, 19 and 17 with 7 assists. Dame also well held, 15 and 11. Lopez had a random offensive night, 23 points on 9 of 11 shooting. Don't fall for this. We know that. Kyle Kuzma is very, very borderline when the Bucks are healthy. Torian Prince had 18 points. Don't sort of go running to add him or anything like that. And we know Gary Trent and AJ Green can be streamed for threes. God, they're boring. The Pacers, Tyrese Halliburton returned after I didn't get him for a whole week in my quarterfinal and I lost. He comes back and has 14 points, 10 assists, 2 steals, including the game-winning 3. So not great, but good to have him back on the floor. Pascal Siakam had 25, 12, and 5 in a good performance. With them back, Neesmith didn't have to do as much. Nembhard didn't have to do as much. Both of those guys are fine to hold. Again, they're playing consistently at this time of the year. That is a category in itself. So I think they're okay to hold. You at least know that they're going to suit up. Mathurin, who had 30 points, then he had 5 points. He's right in the middle here, 17 points. This is more like what we should expect from him, sort of 15 to 19 in that range. TJ McConnell had 4 steals, 7 assists, so some extra minutes for him, which is nice, but we haven't really seen this lately, so I wouldn't be sort of looking at this performance and then thinking this is what we're going to expect moving forward. I'd like to see a little bit more consistency from TJ. And the last game of the night, the Pelicans get the win over the Clippers, 127 to 120. Competitive game as well. We'll do Clippers first. So Clippers, no Norm Powell, obviously still out for another week or so. He's really the only guy. Well, Ben Simmons, do we count him? I don't even know if we count him as an NBA player anymore. Kawhi was good, 29, 8 and 3, 2 steals and a block. Zubats, another strong performance, which isn't really surprising against Yves Mesi. 19, 11 and 5 with 4 blocks. Harden had 25 and 17. A lot of turnovers, but we know that's par for the course. Chris Dunn, 3 steals. Continues to be an okay streamer for steals. And Derek Jones, look, 26 minutes is probably right on the cut line for him. 11, 3 and 1 with a block. He's just a guy you sort of stream in when you need some defensive stats or an efficient low-volume scorer. I did that tonight. I'll just move on from him. We know what we get from him. Bogdan Bogdanovic has been pretty disappointing since joining the Clippers. He had 8 points in 16 minutes. We don't need to be adding him. For the Pelicans, there was no... fix this screen. There was no Kelly Olynyk in this one. Mo Bamba made his debut. He didn't score, but he had a block and 7 rebounds. He just complicates things, really. Not sure why they signed him here. Doesn't really make sense. They have Yves Mesi, they have Matkovic, they have Kelly Olynyk. I don't know why they needed to sign a fourth center, but whatever. Mesi, 26 minutes, 9 and 8 with 2 blocks. He's fine. He's okay to have. Trey Murphy, Zion, both good in this one. Zion, a second career triple-double. If he can just stay healthy, he's going to be a really good player. We just haven't seen that health stick or maintain to this point in his career. Bruce Brown started over Jose Alvarado. Brown had 12, 5, and 5. That's okay, but we know he's resting all the time and limited minutes, that sort of thing. Alvarado moved to the bench, but was still pretty good. 14 points on 5 of 6 shooting, 2 steals, 4 assists. I'd rather have him over Bruce Brown. I'd rather have him over Jordan Hawkins. 30 minutes would be nicer, but 25 is okay. As for Matkovic, he played 20 minutes off the bench, 15, 4, and 1 with 2 blocks. He looks good. Whether they're going to, at some point, hand him a starting role just for a week or two, that could happen down the stretch. We don't know. But good to see the Pelicans winning and playing well against teams that are still in the playoff hunt. And that's all the games. Let's get to some questions. Shining Knight. Yes, it was an early show. Games started early, finished early. So I like an early show as well. I'd love to hear my thoughts on head-to-head. Oh, well, yeah, I gave my thoughts, didn't I? End of the season is way too volatile. It is. And like I said, this has been a trend for the last, I feel like, 5 years. But this year feels far worse. I don't know what the league is doing about it, whether they will. Good question, Alex. What is the league doing? What are you supposed to watch while eating? Yeah, you can watch me if you want. I'm not eating. I am going to go make a coffee. They do need to be strict with medical leave. Rest, I don't know. Like I said, I think the way around it, because at the moment the excuse the teams have is second night of a back-to-back. That is pretty common with both the good teams and the bad teams. Eliminate back-to-backs, then let's reevaluate. If we get rid of back-to-backs, to do that, you're going to have to reduce the season. I think you could probably cut it down to 70 games and eliminate most back-to-backs. And then see what do teams use as an excuse then. I don't know. All right, Alex, is Trey Jones an ad? Yeah, I think so. I think I would be. Giddy's out. Dosunmu's out. He's been playing 30 minutes. He's really assists and sort of steals, but I don't mind adding him. Schedule is trash, but... there, I'll have an article coming out, a Yahoo article on schedule. Looking at the schedule, as I just said with Emmanuel quickly, you can't just look at a schedule at this time of year and go, bad schedule, it's 3-3, or it's a good schedule, 4-4, because look for back-to-backs, you have to look at who they're playing. There's a whole range of layers, and that is why I don't tend to focus too much on schedule or playoff schedule when I'm drafting my team. Because you get to this point in the season, for starters, we've had a trade deadline, so players have moved. But like I said, you've got a guy like Donovan Mitchell, who's clearly not injured, but they might have a 4-4 schedule, but that doesn't mean he plays four games. He probably plays three. So, yeah, it's hard to evaluate at the start of the season. You can get a bit of a rough idea, but I don't put too much sway in a playoff schedule. Yep, Lone Des agrees. Certainly the most annoying year. Yep. It just, I don't know if it's more annoying in terms of the rest that we're getting right now. It just feels like it started so much earlier. So it's dragged on, which means there's sort of been this big ramp up to what we're seeing now. Usually there's just a switch that sort of flicks. There was to some degree this year, and that's why I really like the idea of doing a pick'em league at this time of the year, because injuries, rest does not matter one bit. You just pick your roster based on who is playing on the day. Is it like this every year, Shining Knight asks? Yeah, look, it's worse. 12-team points league. Who are must roster highest potential players that might be on waivers? Bilal, Dayron Sharp, Dinwiddie, Mathurin, etc. Well, it really depends on who is on your waivers. You want to look for guys that score points. Dinwiddie is probably must roster. Mathurin would be close. Sharp, maybe not so much. He's more of a category guy. Bilal's injured at the moment. So, I mean, if you're on a points league, you know what you're looking for. You're looking for guys that score points, get you a lot of assists, a lot of rebounds. Defense doesn't matter as much. They're also pretty volatile, those defensive categories. So even if it's someone, unless it's Dyson Daniels, yeah, the steals can really range between 0 and 2 or 3. Points, rebounds, assists tend to be a little more consistent. Yes, very good point, Shining Knight. Fantasy should be about the skill. And that's right. And that's why I'm going to make all of my leagues end early next year. C Park, should I be worried that Devin Vassell will sit out the rest of the week? I am. At this, who knows? I hope he doesn't, because he's playing really well at the moment. Do I like Filipowski or Grimes more rest of season? Let's go. It's pretty close. I might go Grimes just at the moment. Alex, can't help but feel that Silver's reputation is solely giving the players what they want. And yes, he does. Look, he does want to keep the players happy. Obviously, they are the product. But yeah, in terms of internal happiness, yes. But look at all the negative media and stuff around the NBA this season, the All-Star game, the resting. It's not a good look, and you're trying to get he doesn't care about fantasy, obviously, but you're trying to get fans over watching the NBA. why would you come and watch a league where the best players just don't play because they don't feel like it? Should I drop a men? I have playoffs. If your playoffs start in 2 weeks, no, I wouldn't. All right, Chinchilla. If I had LeBron, Men, JJJ, Brunson, Melo, and Scotty Barnes, 10-team point lead, would you drop anybody to hold stream? Would I drop any of those guys? Well, it depends when your playoffs are. Scotty Barnes, probably not. If your playoffs are soon or now, Brunson, yes. LeBron, yes. Men, yes. JJJ, yeah. Yeah, look, I'd drop a lot of those guys. Brunson's out for a couple of weeks, Triple J a couple of weeks, Amen a couple of weeks, LeBron a couple of weeks. So, yeah, if you need – that's a lot. Like, yeah, I'd be certainly considering dropping a couple of those. Ernest, two ads left for the week after streaming Bona and Batum. May drop Maxi tomorrow, but who to add? McBride, Dinwiddie, Kessler, Edwards, Wallace, Aquaman. Probably counting stats and field goal percentage. Well, Wallace, yeah, I mean, if that's Keaton Wallace you're referring to, Trey could return tomorrow, so probably not him. Kessler Edwards had one good game. Before that, he wasn't doing much. I'd probably go Dinwiddie and McBride there. Chinchilla again, lost Jalen Johnson, Brandon Miller streaming since. Locked in first place, going against Jokic, Halliburton, Spider, Ant-Man. Yeah. Ant-Man's going to – he just seems to play. Jokic generally plays. Halliburton was injured but played today, obviously, and Spider's going to play. He's just resting. Thoughts on Keontae's minutes rest of season? Treating him like a must roster in a punt field goal and turnover build, but maybe I have that exact conundrum. I have him in a team where I'm punting those categories along with others. And yeah, I'm not sure. He's doubtful for tomorrow. He missed their last game. So he's not going to play tomorrow. They then play Friday, Sunday, Monday. So there's no way he plays both of those games. So you maybe you get one more game this week. Next week, they have technically four games, but does he play in all four? If he's got a foot injury, as soon as you see any sort of injury with these guys, because he was playing a lot of their games, as soon as an injury pops up, a new injury, then you have to prepare for rest. I don't think you have to roster him if you need production. I'm going to consider dropping him. There's just no one on my waivers. Keep Alvarado for two games or stream Scottie Pippen Jr. for three in four nights. Let's go quantity there and go Scottie Pippen. Alvarado, who's been questionable the last two or three games, I think, with a hip injury. Whether he misses one of the next couple, I don't know. I'd probably be okay with going Scottie Pippen there. Utah does not care about the back-to-back. Toronto had no reason to rest IQ. No, and they've done it before. Utah have been doing it as well. They're resting players when it's not a back-to-back. So we are starting to see, rest, as I said, has nothing to do with back-to-backs. But I do think if we eliminated the back-to-backs, we'd at least get a new perspective on what the rest is going to look like. Do I post links to my articles on Blue Sky? I don't usually. RotoWire do, I think. And then if I see it, I retweet it. I'm happy to, though. I forget that I do the articles sometimes. I do two a week. I do a waiver wire article. I do a sit start article. And then I'm just doing a few extra ones to help them out over the next couple of weeks. Um, Scotty's chances of sitting, what's Scotty's chances of sitting similar amount of games as we expect IQ to? Haven't rested him. No. I'm not sure on that one. RJ Barrett, yes, I do think he will rest as much as quickly. Scotty, maybe not quite as much, but I do think he rests. Do I think Maxi getting questionable tags is just a pseudo reason of not getting fined? I mean, this is one of the flaws in that system, isn't it? You list an injury, then the NBA can't come out and say you're just resting someone. That's why Trae Young has been on the injury report with an Achilles injury for the whole year, and it hasn't kept. He's missed one game with it. And that's why the Lakers do it with LeBron James and these guys. These teams know they find loopholes. If we put an injury next to a player before every game, then if we want to rest him, we just rest him and we say it's managing the injury. Lauri Markkanen, I can almost guarantee he's not injured. He's just not playing, but they'll say it's back management. John Collins, exactly the same, not injured. You watch him on the sideline when they're playing. He's jumping around. He's not sore. So, until the league does something about it, but I don't know what that is. That's the issue here. Should I drop AD finals next week? Finals next week or playoffs next week? If it's finals next week, yes. Seems like IQ is going to get some random games. Yes, is he droppable? Yes. He's in that Keontae George discussion. I'm looking at dropping both of those guys. Shining Knight would appreciate the links. Sure, I can get it up on Blue Sky. I just don't think to do it, but I'll try to remember. Would I rather hold Keon Johnson or Justin Champagne? Ugh. This is where we are, isn't it? Keon, maybe just. Maxi's injuries are legitimate. Yes, he does have an injury. And like I said at the top of the show, a lot of these players are injured. But 20 years ago, they were just told to play through them. They're minor injuries that really can't get worse short of a freak kind of occurrence during the game. You play through it, but now they just don't because they don't have to. Who's the most droppable? PG, Powell, Amen, AD, playoffs start week 21. I thought we were in week 21, unless week 21 is next week. Probably depends on your platform. They're all probably droppable. Is week 21 next week for you? Let me know if it is, and I'll answer that. Would I drop Ware for McBride? Very different stats, obviously. So that probably is just a stat-dependent question. Do you need guard stats or do you need big stats? Are there any breakout block candidates for 2025-26 besides Klingon? No, it's sort of our obvious ones, I guess. I think there are a few guys that could if they can play minutes. I think Matkovic has some nice block upside. I think Vukcevic has some nice block upside. Khalil Ware. There'll be some rookies as well, obviously. We've seen little bits from Adem Bona, Kai Jones. There are some guys, but most of them aren't going to play enough, I don't think. Week 21 is in 2 weeks for Joseph Kim. Who would I drop out of those guys? I mean, theoretically, I'm not sure what the right one is there. They could all be back, all of those guys. Powell was reevaluated in 10 days. AD is week to week. Amen is 2 weeks. So I think Amen could be back, close to being back, so I wouldn't drop him. PG is the questionable one because he might not play for the rest of the season. I'd be okay with dropping Paul George, I think. So he's probably the most droppable. Yeah, I think so. Oh, okay. Chad. Oh, that was Chad's question. Oh, hang on. Where are we? Up here. Trying to start shaping dynasty rosters, you have one where you're looking to acquire blocks and assists. Yeah, I mean, those names that I mentioned are guys to look at. It's just hard to see any of them really stepping into a big role based on current rosters. I guess Matkovic maybe, because I think Eve Misi is their starting center, but I don't think he's going to be a 30-minute a night center. I think he's sort of 26 to 28. Alinek doesn't make sense there, so they may move him. So if Matkovic can just play 20 minutes as a backup, maybe. Yeah, and like I said, Kai Jones, these guys, but they're just silly season players at the moment. They're not guys that are going to play significant minutes. Do I think anyone is safe on the Suns roster for next year? Well, probably depends what happens with KD. I think he's probably the first domino to fall, so to speak. Yeah, I think Booker probably sticks around. Beyond him, I don't know. I mean, do they hold Nick Richards as their starting center? He's okay, but he's not going to win you a title. So, yeah, look, it's hard to know with Phoenix what they're going to do. Side. Where is not tingling Steve's wingling? Fair enough. He's not playing a lot of minutes. So this is the Ware versus McBride question, I think. Would I drop Ware for McBride? You need all stats in general, looking for upside for the next week and the week after. Yeah, look, I think McBride's probably going to start. Brunson's not going to come back for a couple of weeks. Ware is up and down. 20 minutes, 25 minutes, 30 minutes, 18 minutes. He's really one category only, blocks. Rebounds are okay. McBride's probably a little bit safer. Let's say that. What did they say about Brunson? Yeah, I think they said reevaluated in 2 weeks, but it was a bad one. I know he plays for the Knicks, so they're probably going to roll him out there in a wheelchair. But, yeah, I think it'll be at least 2 weeks for Brunson. All right, I'm going to get out of here. It's time for a coffee. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Should be back as normal tomorrow with a post-game show. Let me just have a look at what time the games are tomorrow. Wednesday, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9 games tomorrow, last game. No, so it's sort of normal schedule. So probably a normal time for the post-game show tomorrow. What's that question, Chad? Were these Pelicans games decided when Dyson was still on the team? What Pelicans games are you talking about? Oh, sorry. You're talking about the... I know it's been happening for a while. I know discussions have been happening. I've been talking with Pelicans people about this. So this has been something that's been basically locked in for a few months now. I guess potentially these discussions started before he was traded. I'm not sure. I don't know why it's the Pelicans. I'm fine with it. I like the Pelicans as a team. If they're healthy, they're supposedly going to bring all of their guys here. I'll probably go down. I'll have a look at ticket prices first. I've seen the Pelicans play, so I'm not in a position where I might never see them play or won't see Zion ever, that sort of thing. I've seen all of them. We saw 3 games in New Orleans. So I'm not definitely going to go. It will depend on the ticket. So I'm not going to pay hundreds of dollars when I'll be in America in a few years and I can pay $100 to get a ticket. So, we'll see what happens. But I don't know why it was the Pelicans, whether Dyson was there and that was part of the reason. Not sure. Can't answer that one. All right. Now I'm going to go. Please go download, like, subscribe. I will make sure to put links to my articles on Blue Sky and Twitter. I think I did for my most recent article, but I'll make sure I'm doing that moving moving forward. Oh, and one more from Shining Eye. How many days till surgery? Monday. So it's Wednesday here now. So I've got 4 or 5 days till surgery. And then we reevaluate and see what the recovery looks like. As long as I'm okay to get on my plane and fly to Los Angeles in July, I'll be fine. I will be back tomorrow. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch ya.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.